All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, post-schedule release edition here on this mid-May edition of the show. Brought to you by Bill Curry Foreign. It is good to be here. Of course, we did our draft shows a couple of weeks ago, and now that the dust has settled on all of that, we had one final event, I guess you could say, and it is an event, at least to me. And that event on the NFL calendar before, you know, offseason really kicks in would have been the schedule release, which happened on Thursday night. I am recording this on Friday morning. So we have the full thing right here. We've got rookie minicamp going on today and this weekend at One Buck Place as well. And there'll be a couple of other, you know, minicamps and things like that. But for the most part now, we're sitting here and we're staring down the barrel of those few months. And training camp keeps getting closer and closer. It's May 12th. Today is May 12th, and that's less than 3 months away. And it doesn't feel, I mean, the NFL does a good job of really making things kind of tie together because the Super Bowl doesn't feel that long ago. And it's a lot, you know, other sports have short off seasons anyway. So the reason the hockey off season feels so short is because it is. They play like 8 months out of the year or 9 months out of the year. Same thing goes for like an NBA and even baseball, about the same length as football, but so many more games, and it just, you know, you don't notice it so much because football's going on, but they're off season with the length of that. But football's off season's a long one. It's a short season, like calendar wise, and yet it hasn't felt that way because they've got so many other things going on. The NFL's done a great job of making news and making events out of all these things. So we had the draft, had all that. Now we got a schedule. We'll talk about that today. Rookie minicamp, like I said, also going on as well. So thank you for joining us. I am Bobby Fenton. As always, if you want to get a hold of me, my email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. On Twitter, same thing, at bobbygameday. Thanks to the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com for hosting me and letting me be on the site and putting this show in front of you guys. It's a privilege every week. Looking at the schedule, I got to say this, first of all. I was not expecting much in the way of primetime games. I was not expecting much in the way of variety. I was expecting something very similar to what I grew up with as a child of the 80s and the 90s, which was Sunday 1 o'clock, Sunday 1 o'clock, Sunday 1 o'clock. That's how it always was. And in my day, and I'm 42, even the 4 o'clock kickoffs were a big deal. Like, that was, we got a 4 o'clock kickoff home game with the Bears in November. Like, that was a big thing. I remember that in the 90s and in the 80s. And then you'd get a couple of cursory, like, first of all, no Monday Night Football. I've told you the story before. The Bucs did not play on Monday Night Football from, I think, 1982 when I was 2 until my freshman year of college. So I literally never experienced Monday Night Football as a child. Like, didn't know what it was. Like to have my team play on it. And then the Sunday night games, and I remember them all because there were so few of them. They were such a big deal. Like, I thought it was like the entire world was watching when I was, you know, a 10-year-old kid. And occasionally, my dad or my mom would take me to one of those, and it was like, oh my God, it's a school night. I'm going to a primetime football game. Like, it was the greatest feeling. But anyway, I didn't think there'd be much of that this year, understanding that we lost Tom Brady. We lost a lot of the marquee star power. Bucks aren't considered a contender by anybody. They're considered last week's news. Everybody else is next week's news. And it used to be they were never any week's news. So they get two primetime games on this schedule. They do have a lot of Sunday at 1, Sunday at 1, Sunday at 1. In fact, 11 of the 17 games are on Sunday at 1 p.m., which, if you've been a Bucks fan for any more than 5 minutes, you're used to, even though the last few years haven't been that way. It'll feel very familiar once we get in that rhythm again. But they do have 3 o'clock-ish kickoffs, whether it's 4:05 or 4:25, and then the two primetime games. So looking at things, and I always like to listen to the numbers guys, and I like to look at all the, you know, the hidden things that you don't see that jump out right at you, but just looking at the Bucks schedule to the naked eye before I, you know, get into all that stuff. You always look at the opener at Minnesota in week 1, Sunday, 1 p.m. You look at when the bye week is. The Bucks have an early bye week this week. It's only week 5. It's the earliest possible bye week, I believe. I don't think they do them in week 4. So you've got that, and you always prefer it to be either midway or even a little bit later, but hey, it is what it is. As far as the difficulty, and again, we knew all the teams they were playing, just not the order, but it appears as if the schedule shows its teeth a little bit early and middle, and it's not as bad late. I mean, you don't know. And that's the thing. You don't know looking at all these teams who's who. You know what they were last year. That doesn't mean that's what they'll be this year. Obviously, Philadelphia, the defending NFC champion, seems tough. Saints should be better. Chicago wasn't very good last year, though, and Minnesota, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Is Minnesota going to be 12-5? Are they going to be 8-9? You don't know. That's what you can't go by these things just because of what happened last year. But some tough ones in the middle, and you've got games that, looking at the weather, besides Green Bay, week 15, that's Sunday, December 17th, don't look too bad. They gave the Bucs a lot of streakiness. So, like, you got after the bye week, two home, two road. One home, two road. One home, two road. So that's a stretch from week 8 through week 15 where they play 6 games in 8 weeks on the road and only have 2 home games. Outside of that, of course, that's, you know, the bulk of the road schedule. They're at home quite a bit. Looking at it from a ticket holder standpoint, though, I mean, you can at least make some pretty solid plans around Sundays at 1 p.m. And the two primetime games, week 3, Philadelphia, Monday night football. Note the kickoff time there, 7:15, because I'd forgotten about this. And I was like, ooh, they moved the Monday night football kickoff up an hour. I can dig that. It's fine. I kind of like it starting around 8-ish. But 7:15, I forgot they're doing, not every week, there's some weeks where it's just the one game, but in a few select weeks, they have 2 Monday night football games now. That's one of them. So there's another game that does start at the usual Monday night football starting time of 8:20 or whatever it is. Bucks-Eagles at 7:15 here on September 25th. For those of you that don't like having to go to bed too late, especially if you're going to the game and it turns into a late night, not as bad for a school night. I kind of like it. Like I said, I don't mind having 2 games to choose from if I'm sitting at home on a non-Bucks home game Monday night football week. I like having 2 games to choose from. So maybe they'll do it more in coming years. There are only a few weekends where they're doing it this year, but this is one of them. Week 3, Bucks host the Eagles on September 25th at 7:15, not the usual 8:20 or whatever it is. And the other game that night, looking at it here, is, hang on, I clicked on week 2. And week 3, Monday Night Football, because one's on ABC and one's on ESPN. The Bucks are the one that's on ABC, the network. ESPN is the other one, and that's Rams at Bengals starting at 8:15, an hour later. So the two games will be staggered, and there's a few weeks where they're doing that. Then they've got the Thursday Nighter, which is on the road in Buffalo, and that one is on October 26th, week 8. So let's look at the numbers behind it, because what we don't notice necessarily when you look at a schedule and it jumps out at you, and I've gone over this the past couple of years on this show, it's important. Things like rest, things like short weeks, things like travel, things like how does your rest stack up against your opponents? These are all things that you can't even necessarily tell just looking at it because you can't see what the opponents are facing. Brian Burke over at ESPN Stats, his Twitter is at BBurkeESPN. He always does a nice breakdown of everything, which I appreciate reading, and he did so this year as far as looking at the Bucks don't have a great setup this year. As far as rest and travel, it's not horrible, but it's been better in past years. So looking at it, first of all, we talk about the two primetime games. Primetime games mean usually short weeks, right? If you play on Monday Night Football, your following week is shorter. If you play on Thursday Night Football, the previous week is shorter. So the Bucs only have those two short weeks, the 2 weeks they're on primetime, which is not bad at all. A little bit of a bad break for the Bucs is that they get the double whammy short week with a road game following it up. Because when they play their first short week, which is week 4 against the Saints, that's when they play the Monday Nighter against Philadelphia, then they got a short week and travel to New Orleans. They do have the bye week after that. The week with Buffalo, luckily for them, the short week comes off of a home game. They play a road game after it, but that's a long week. But they play Atlanta at home, then turn around and travel to Buffalo. But the short week itself is the road game. You have to go to Buffalo. So they don't have back-to-back road games that time. But both of the times they play on a short week, they're traveling for the game that's on the shorter week. And so, you know, a little bit of a bad break there. Not that big of a deal. Games off of a bye. Of course, the Bucks have their game against the Lions off of the bye. Some teams, though, get unlucky with this, where you end up playing like 3-4 teams on your schedule who are all coming off of a bye. It's a decided advantage. There's numbers to back this up. It's no joke. The Bucs actually caught a break here. Only one game versus an opponent coming off the bye. That's the Colts game. They play in Week 12 at Indianapolis. The Colts are off in Week 11. So you've got that to contend with. The Rams and 49ers this year, for example, have four such games where they're coming off of a bye, or excuse me, their opponents are coming off of a bye. Although the big one to me, because every week you get two teams on the field, they could either be on equal rest where they both played the same day the week before, or they could be having a rest differential where one team had an extra day or maybe even two. For example, one team played on Thursday the week before and one team played on Sunday. Now they're both playing each other, and yet one team's on 10 days rest, one team's on 7. So the Bucs actually come out with this one, 5 games they play with less rest than their opponent. That's tied for the second most in the league. The only team that has more is the Chiefs, actually, and they have 6. And then if you add it all up, looking at it all in just add the rest days you have coming into a game versus the rest days your opponents have coming into a game, that's your net rest differential. And the Bucs come out minus 6 days in net rest differential, which isn't terrible, but it is 27th out of 32 teams. So obviously anything on the plus side is good. A couple of these teams, though, get up there into like the teens as far as how many days less rest they have versus their opponents if you add it all up. But the Bucs do play more games on shorter rest than their opponent than the other way around. They have 3 back-to-back road weeks. Those are always a little bit tough. Like I said, week 8 and 9 at Buffalo, at Houston. Week 11 and 12 at San Francisco, at Indianapolis. Week 14 and 15 at Atlanta and at Green Bay. And on top of all that, the Bucs have the worst, number 32, net travel distance. This one's a little bit funny. I'm not sure how much it matters because in a given week, unless it's a Europe game, only one team is traveling. But the Bucs travel much further to their road games than their opponents will be traveling incoming here. And part of that, well, first of all the NFC teams are going to rank lower in that stat because this is the year of 9 road games for the NFC and 8 home games versus the AFC's got 9 home, 8 road. But even amongst the NFC teams, the Bucs have the most travel distance differential. A lot of that's because they drew San Francisco as their opponent for the NFC West, or that, you know, sometimes you end up getting somebody a little bit closer. Seattle's even further, though. And then they have Jacksonville coming here who doesn't have to travel very far, or things like that. It is a holiday year, and what a holiday year, what I mean by that is this is a year where Christmas and New Year's weekend, you've got games falling on those days. Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year. The Bucs not only play that day at home, but that's actually one of the 4 o'clock kickoffs. It's a 4:05 kickoff on Christmas Eve against the Jags here in Tampa. And then same thing with New Year's Eve, although that one's a 1 p.m. That shouldn't interfere much with anybody's New Year's Eve plans. There is college football, I think. I have to check if they have college football later on that night. But when it's on Sunday, I think they move everything a day. So overall, nothing that eventful. But even now, at age 42, like I said, and you know, 20-some-odd years removed from childhood when I used to look at this schedule and my eyes would light up like a kid on Christmas morning seeing a Monday night game, I still instinctively go to that first. What are the prime? I still love it when the Bucs are on primetime. It's just a cool feeling when your favorite team is, and maybe I appreciate it more because it used to be a rarity. I'm not sure, like, how do Cowboys fans, do they, like, look at, oh, Monday Night Football, or are they so used to it because they've always been on it? I really couldn't say. But as a Bucs fan and as a Tampa kid, it means a lot to me. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's fun to tell. I mentioned earlier that the Bucs didn't play on Monday Night Football at all in my entire, like, childhood. Like, from 1982, when I was 2 years old, until 1998, they did not play on Monday Night Football. So 1998 was my freshman year of college. I graduated from UF, but I actually went to USF for my freshman year, stayed home for the first year. So the fall of 1998, coming off that magical 1997 season, which a lot of you remember when the Bucs were basically not a losing team for the first time ever in my life. Not, you know, I wasn't alive in the 70s. So they get this game. It was like the first week of December, and they're hosting Brett Favre and the Packers on Monday Night Football, Raymond James Stadium. I was 1,000,000% geeked for this game. I mean, going back to like the spring when the schedule came out, I was like, oh my God, I'd never been to Monday Night Football. I was so fired up. So anyway, I'm in college. It's freshman semester. First semester of freshman year, fall semester. So I was taking this class. It was whatever it was, Matt, whatever math you take freshman year of college. Was it calculus or I can't remember what it was. But with that said, the final exam, and this was a night class that I took on Monday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., just as it happened. And the final exam was the night of Monday Night Football, believe it or not. So the game started at like 8:20 or whatever it was. I've got an exam from 6 to 8 p.m. up at USF in Norway. I lived up in North Tampa anyway. And so, you know, a lot of kids maybe that are, were a little more academically minded than me might have been thinking, all right, big day, man. Calc final exam, got to nail this, got to hit this, got to get an A in this class or a B or whatever. Obviously, if you know me, you know that what I was thinking was, big day, man. Monday Night Football for the Bucks. Oh, happen to have a final exam for calculus, no big deal, whatever. Monday Night Football for the Bucks. So I show up to the exam. I'm wearing my game day outfit, which I still, when I go to a game in person, is the same thing I wear now. I wear like shorts, a nice collared Bucks polo, and I'm geared up, ready to go. I could barely convince myself to get, you know, even a fraction of my brain focused on this exam. I'm only thinking about Monday Night Football. So I get into the exam, and you remember in college or in high school, you know how the teacher will tell you, like, okay, this is worth 25% of your grade, this is worth 20, quizzes are going to be worth 20%, your quarterly test is 15%, your final exam's 25%. They'd break it down for you. So at least I knew how to do that much math. I was able to break down exactly what I needed on the exam to reach every letter grade. So basically I knew I needed like, I think I needed something like a 48 or something like that to get a B. Like I had the B pretty much locked up, but if I really, really did well and I got like an 88 instead of a 48, I could get an A minus. And if I didn't get the 88, as long as I got better than a 48, I was locked into the B plus or something like that. I don't remember the exact grades, but you can probably guess. Do you think I bore down for that 88 or do you think I made sure I knew I had my 48 and got the hell out of there and got to Monday Night Football? And I probably, they had to water down I-75. I probably left like a smoke in my trail as I was flying down I-75 after that exam, or I-275, I should say. Through Tampa, got to the stadium. It was an awesome game. I think Warren Sapp sacked Brett Favre like four times. He fumbled. Some of you might remember. That 98 season ended up being a real downer after 97 because we thought the Bucs were going to make the leap forward. It didn't happen until the following year, and they went like 8-8 in 98. But that Monday Night Football game to this day is burned into my mind as an 18-year-old college freshman. That's what it's all about, man. And the Bucs. Maybe there's some kids out there, although this one's earlier in the year. It's in September. It's the December. But maybe there's some college kids this year who are going to, you know. And they don't know what it's like, though. They've seen a bunch of primetime games. I always imagine, like, what's it like to be a kid growing up now in the Bucks? You don't know. My son's 11. He's seen the Bucks play on Thursday night, on Monday night, on Sunday night. You know, it probably isn't a big deal to him. It was a big deal to young Bobby Fenton, I'll tell you that much. And that's why it probably carries over even to today, where I still think about it now. But the Bucks schedule starts, like I said, Sunday, September 10th. The first preseason game is Friday, August 11th. So that's literally, I mean, today's the 12th of May. That's literally 3 months to the day from yesterday. We're going to have actual football with uniforms and a score and lines painted on the field, not just training camp. That's even sooner. We're almost there already. And we had a great summer. I'm not even trying to rush it. Like I've told you before on these other shows, Rays doing great. I'm very excited about that. That's going to carry us all through the summer. You know, some years, although not many with the Rays, they've always been pretty good lately. But some years, you're kind of just like, all right, you know, when's football season? But we've got the Rays going. The hockey playoffs, so the second round hasn't been that good, but that's going on too. That'll carry us through a little bit. And if you're into the NBA playoffs, same thing. And there'll be the golf majors and all the usual stuff and family vacations. You want to squeeze one or two of those in there or a road trip or something, whatever you do with the kids off school. Whatever it is, get it all done, okay? Because it's – and I know. Okay, what's the Vegas win total they're saying? 6.5 right now? And when the schedule comes out, I've never done this and never will. I'm not going to go game by game and say win, loss, won. I'm not doing that. Nobody knows. But the overall win totals you can bet on right now are 6.5, roughly. That's pretty much the number you're going to get if you look around for the Bucks season win total. And that's 17 games now, keep in mind, not just 16. And I'll say this much, I'm not going to bet on that either way. The Bucks do seem to me to have a very high variance of outcomes. Like, there have been other years where I feel like I could peg their win total within 2 or 3 games. That's not that hard if you think of it either way. That's a 6-game window. But this Bucks team and this division, I really don't know. Like, I could see the Bucks winning anywhere from, like, 4 or 5 games to, like, 9 or 10. I guess that is a 6-game spread. But, yeah, I mean, you told me they're going to go 10-7. I'd be a little bit surprised, but I wouldn't be, like, blown over the moon. I can't believe it. I'd be like, oh, wow, 10-7. If you told me they were going to go 4-13, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that too. Like, there's a wide range of what I could see for this team. If you're into the whole, I've never been a big futures bets guy because I like instant gratification. I want to bet and then I want to have either the win or the loss within the next 24 to 48 hours. I don't like to make a bet and have my money sitting there for 9 months while I wait to see the outcome of it. It's just never done it for me. But you can bet on almost anything. Looking at the TV broadcast, that's another thing that is a little bit different this year. The TV networks, and I don't know how much this even matters to a lot of you, but again, if you grew up, if you've been a fan for a while of the NFL, you've gotten used to the idea. It used to be NBC and CBS when I was young, then it turned to CBS and Fox, but you know, there's always been the two main networks that have the games, and the NFC's on one and the AFC's on the other. So Fox is the NFC network, and CBS is the AFC network. It's been that way for like, what, like 20, 25 years, right? Like since the 90s almost. And so it still is that way, but they have loosened those restrictions even more. They loosened them a little bit already, where you'd see some NFC games popping up on CBS and vice versa. They've loosened them even more now, though. The Bucks play actually more games. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games on CBS. And actually 7 games on Fox. It's split right down the middle. There are 3 other ones. One's the ABC Monday Nighter, the Prime Video Thursday Nighter, and Week 18, they don't even schedule. That's flex scheduling, so we don't know what that Week 18 game is going to be yet. But of the 14 games they play on Sundays, it used to just be when you'd play those 2 AFC teams at home, the AFC team is who, the road team is who determined the coverage, so those would be on CBS, and that'd be it. You'd be Fox, Fox, Fox the rest of the way. Now there's a lot more flexibility with that. Again, maybe some of you don't even notice as far as with broadcasting crews and things like that. There might be a preference one way or the other. But it is something to keep in mind. And it's all out there now, and there's always that nice feeling. I go to ESPN.com, click on NFL schedule. They put it right in there week by week. 272 games, they're on the schedule. It spans 18 weeks. It spans 5 of the 7 days of the week. There will be an NFL game on every day of the week except for Tuesday and Wednesday at some point this year. Not every week, it won't be like that, I'm saying, but at some point they'll play an NFL game on 5 of the 7 days of the week. There's a Black Friday game this year, which Black Friday's always had a ton of college football anyway, so I wasn't like dying for that, but I'm never gonna complain about an NFL game being on. I can always make my own decisions on which games I want to watch, but you can feel free to put on as many as you want. Triple header on Christmas. Christmas is a Monday this year. Like I said, the bulk of the week slate that week is Christmas Eve, including the Bucks Jags at home on Christmas Eve at 4:05. But the following Monday is 3 games, not just 2, all day long. Hey, keep feeding me. Joe tweeted it out the other day. I said, keep feeding me. Put anytime you can find a place where there's not a game and put a game there, do it. They have talked about Tuesdays and Wednesdays and just getting an NFL game on every single day of the week at some point. And I'm not sure. You don't know till it happens. Whenever something seems good, though, and you're not getting what you think is enough and you want more, you have to stop and realize maybe it's so good because you don't get it that often, and maybe it isn't going to be as good if you get more of it. Maybe scarcity matters. So I know during football season, and like I always say, I say this every year, maybe I need to get a life, because when there's an NFL game on that night, I feel like, hey, I've got something going on tonight. Even though I have nothing going on, I'm just going to sit on my couch and watch it. I'm like, hey, NFL game. Like Thursday nights, for example. On Thursdays during the day, It's been, you know, a long week, whatever. And I don't even have like a 9-to-5 job anyway, so I don't even know why I say this. But still, I still feel the regular 9-to-5 schedule. On a Thursday, like during the day, I'm like, huh? Kind of feels like the weekend's already starting, you know? Because you got Thursday night football, Friday, okay, whatever. There's Thursday night football, that's the weekend as far as I'm concerned. Whereas on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you're kind of like, bleh, whatever. It's the middle of the week, man. There's nothing going on tonight. It sucks. And then you hit Thursday, and there's just a different feel to it because there's football. Would I feel that way on Tuesdays and Wednesdays if they had football those nights too? I really don't know. Basically, would the numbness or the stink of Tuesdays and Wednesdays be erased by having football games that night, or would those days erase the excitement of having football because it's still Tuesday and Wednesday, which are the 2 days of the week with the least feel? Like, even Monday's got some feel because you're coming off the weekend. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are just kind of the blah days of the week, and then Thursday, all right, here we go. You know, you're getting back into weekend mode. And I like I said, even though my schedule is not a traditional one anyway, I still love weekends. Always have, always will. It's just a different vibe. And I work, even when I'm off on a Monday or Tuesday, and I work a weekend, which I work weekends a lot sometimes with my, you know, because I do sports television and stuff like that. So a lot of times I'm doing Lightning games or Rays games or stuff on weekends, and I still feel it. It's better on the weekends, even if I have to work, because it's the weekend. And society is on weekend, and more weekend things are happening, and there's fun things going on. Whereas on a Tuesday at 2 p.m., that's just the middle of the workday, whether you're at work or not. There's nothing cool going on. It's Tuesday. Tuesday sucks, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if it works that way. But I'm pretty happy with this. We'll see if one day they break through and really, truly try to put an NFL game every single day, and maybe even implant chips in our temples that just beam NFL content to us even when there are no live games. I haven't gotten tired of it yet, though. I haven't gotten oversaturated. So it should be a lot of fun. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. Again, BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. I forgot there's the fridge schedules, which I'm not, I don't, even though the schedule's out, I don't usually make those till a little bit more into the summer, but I'll be making them again this year. For those of you that don't know what the fridge schedules are, I print up a big, you know, I type it out on Microsoft Word or whatever. And instead of having a little tiny little thing cut out from the newspaper, although I kind of do miss that, I put the team logos on there. I do a whole nice thing, and I just email you the file, and you print it out on a color printer. You stick it up there in your office. You stick it up there in your house on the fridge. And then I always like to write win-loss. I use X's and O's because that's what my grandma did. But I write X for a win, O for a loss, and the score. And it's a tradition, and I'm glad to make it every year, and I'll send those out. I don't have it made yet or anything like that, but I'll do it. But yeah, and remember, speaking of the newspaper, like, that's how we used to get the NFL schedule. Do you guys remember that? Like, I remember as a kid, and usually I'd be at my grandmother's after school, Nana, she'd pick me up. This is the other grandmother now. She'd pick me up from school, and I'd go hang out there, and I'd read the paper. I always would read the paper and eat whatever food she made me after school. And I'd sit there. And one day, without any knowledge, because there was no Twitter, there was no internet, there was no NFL network, you would just open up the sports page and boom, there'd just be a Bucs schedule there. Like, oh my God, this is the schedule. And it was so, that's how we used to get the schedule. Like, it wasn't like, hey, coming up next Thursday at 8 p.m., here is the NFL schedule release. It wasn't like that, you know? Like, you would just open the sports page one day and, oh, hey, there's the Bucs schedule. And so I'd go get the scissors out, cut it out, bam, up on the fridge it would go. And it'd stay there all summer. Like, you'd be looking at it knowing it was coming. And this is back again when, and my uncle and my dad were both high school football coaches. So, like, whatever team they were coaching would go up there. The college, FSU, was my, even though I ended up going to UF, I was an FSU fan as a kid. So it'd be whatever high school my dad and my uncle were coaching at, then FSU, then the Bucs, all three of those schedules, whoop, they'd be sitting up there. And you'd be looking at it just longing for football season. You could just feel it's a state of mind. That's why I always say it's a state of mind. It's not just a time of year. It's a state of mind. And the NFL, that's what they've been able to do. They've been able to make that state of mind extend past the boundaries of just the season itself. And so that's how we've gotten to be here. But either way, I will get those schedules out at some point over the summer. And in the meantime, like I said, Bucs rookie minicamp this week. Hopefully, I mean, you wouldn't expect there to be much news. I know Todd Bowles is speaking, I think right now as I speak, he's speaking. But by the time you hear the show, it'll already have happened. And it's the first look at some of these guys. I know Cody Mock was in there looking huge. That on the Joe Bucks fan Twitter feed, they had to specify that he wasn't wearing shoulder pads in the picture of him because it looks like he's wearing shoulder pads in his jersey. And it's just him. And obviously everybody's looking forward to seeing what all the rookies look like. Not just Kalijah Kancey, but Mock and everybody else down the line. We'll see. You know, you're not going to tell much now. As it's known by Joe Bucks fan, underwear football season is upon us. Nobody's hitting anybody. Everybody's in nice tights or t-shirts and shorts or whatever. And aside from maybe the skill guys at wideout or the DBs, and even then you can't tell much, but you definitely can't tell much with any of the physical guys inside until they actually strap it up. And that will come soon enough, okay? So in the meantime, we got a schedule. We got rookies on the field. There are football things happening. Enjoy it. Oh, and take care of all the loose ends you need. And one of those loose ends may be replacing your vehicle. So if you want something brand new, if you want something used, pre-owned, whatever you want to call it, if it's a car or a truck or a van, the first thing you can do is go to your internet provider, whether it's your phone or your laptop or whatever, and go to BillCurryFord.com. Remember, Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing, all the inventory, so many different things to choose from. Get a feel, narrow it down a little bit. Then head to the site, the lot, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are under construction right now. I actually drove by there yesterday. All right? Massive things are happening. From the street, it's going to look, oh, whoa, whoa, what's going? No, wide open. Go in there. It looks like a construction, you know, some parts of it, but everything is humming. Check them out. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, just past the Hillsborough Overpass on the east side of the road if you're coming from the south, or on the left side of the road if you're coming from the north. And you can see, and if you don't want to go, by the way, they'll bring you the vehicle. And this isn't just the vehicle you buy. If you want to just test drive something, they'll bring it to your home or office. You can do this all from home if you want, or you can go see them in person. Either way, you're guaranteed, if you buy a vehicle from them, the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. As long as you own the vehicle you bought there, even if it's years from now, you're protected from engine trouble. It's all taken care of. You just bring it back into the service center and you don't have to worry a lick. So go see them in person, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, or again, the website, BillCurryFord.com. And that's all for us, this edition of the Free Stretch. We got a schedule now. We've got tangible football games to look forward to. Of course, training camp, like I said, is only a little more than 2 months away. And we're going to be having fun all summer long here on the Free Stretch and on JoeBucksFan.com. And you know JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, whatever, for Bucks coverage. And they're busier in the offseason than they are during the season. So if you're wondering, oh, there won't be any updates, he's putting up multiple articles a day. Both Joes are, all the time. It doesn't matter what time of year it is, especially in the offseason, in fact. So check them out. And thanks to them again for giving me this platform. Thanks to you all for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. I'll talk to you again for the next one. And until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.